Hi guys, Matthew here. You are getting ready to listen to part 3 of the Zweite Bundesliga season review for season 2019-2020. If you haven't already, check part 1 and 2 to check out the teams from the top 6 as well as those who finished between positions 7 and 12. We thank you very much for listening. And now, the intro.
Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo macht Tempo, wartet auf harte Herzschlag, kommt und jetzt ist es Klos! Also, Arminia Bielefeld!
Penny, 2-0! 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli!
Diese
Flanke, Tor! Nächster Treffer!
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne, ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Part 3 of our podcast for the Zweite Bundesliga 2019-2020 season review brings us to the bottom 6. Some teams you would suggest we're very, very disappointed with as they did not live up to expectations. Some, on the other hand, went above and beyond to survive the drop to the Dritte Liga. One of those sides who went well above the point of call was Osnabrück, a side that many of us had written off the start of the season. But yet, under the careful guidance of Daniel Tiyun, they managed to finish a more than respectable 13th place. A team that was modest in its attacking and defending, but really it was its coaching that really got Osnabrück into a position of survival. I'm going to give this one to Eva, a team that, let's be fair, had some decent individual quality. I mean, Marcus Alvarez is probably the standout in terms of its goal scoring. Nicholas Schmidt was very, very good in patches, the man on loan from Werder Bremen. But it was really a bit of a ragtag team of players that, you know, are kind of, in terms of standard, maybe in between the Zweite Bundesliga and Dritte Liga. They just played above and beyond and had an incredibly good season and one that's resulted in a very good survival season.
Yeah, I know I'm always coming back to my season's predictions, but I'm always glad if I have something right, and I actually had Osnabrück 13th because I saw a couple of games by them or from them in their Dritte Liga season, and of all three promoted sides, I always thought they probably have the best chances to survive, not only because they were champions, but just from the whole setup of the club. And I'm glad they showed me I'm right. I think with Daniel Tiyun, they're very, very unlucky that he will leave for HSV and that he has left already. I think he always had ways to show even players that had a couple of bad games that there's always another game to come back. I think it was Agu who had that horrible game against VfB Wiesbaden, but he wasn't completely out of the team afterwards. But Tune always tried to bring him back, and they, especially after the Corona pause, Osnabrück had quite some good games and always never gave up and always put 90 plus minutes into the games, and I think they definitely deserve to stay up and even higher than a team like Nuremberg or KSC.
Yeah, they did fantastic, and you know, it'll be interesting to see if Marco Grote, who is the new manager of Osnabrück, they did retain their sporting director as well, who spurned the advances of Nuremberg, whether they can in fact survive for another season. Let's move to a team in Hamburg, the other side, St. Pauli, who finished a very not great 14th position. It's fair to say that a team that didn't have the luxury of good coaching for the entirety of the season, a lot of underperforming, and let's be fair, if we're honest with ourselves, they let the situation carry on a bit too long. And when they decided to make a decision on Jos Luhukay, the season was already over. So they have also a new manager, Timo Schulz, who has been at St. Pauli for 15 years, someone who knows the club quite well. But we should discuss the season that was. Robert, It was not great. I mean, they only, in theory, probably had two shining lights. That was the Hamburg Derby triumphs, but otherwise, it was a very subpar season from St. Pauli.
Yeah, you'd feel that in some respects they sort of suffer from the same problems as HSV. It seems to be a lot of upheaval behind the scenes. New sporting director, new manager. As you say, it just never really seemed to fit with Jos Luhukay. And yeah, particularly his spat with Henk Veerman was a bit was very strange towards the end of the season, and showed that he was seems to be losing the dressing room. As you say, the two main highlights for them from the season will be the two derby wins against HSV, and without those 6 points, they would have very much been in the relegation scrap. So yeah, with a young manager of Timo Schulz and his assistant Loic Favé, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, who's also from a local club here in Hamburg. Interesting to see how they fare, because they have quite a bloated squad, I think you'd say, and suffer with a lot of injuries. I think Gyökeres is going back to Brighton, so interesting to see how they fare next season.
Yeah, some of their better performances did come from the younger players that were on loan from Brighton Hove Albion, in Leo Ostergaard and Gyökeres, as you mentioned. But yeah, they also lose Diamantakos to Hajduk Split in Croatia. So big Henk, who, hopefully for St. Pauli's sake, will have a better working relationship with Timo Schulz. He was very pivotal, actually, with his goals, despite the fact that he, like many others at St. Pauli, weren't very durable. That's something that they need if they're going to avoid a repeat of the season that has just taken place. Let's move to Karlsruhe, who, well, they left it as late as possible. The final match day, a 1-1 draw at Greuther Fürth, ensured that they would be safe from relegation, and it didn't seem very possible. But the change of manager during the season from Alois Schwarz to Christian Eichner ended up being the catalyst for their ascension away from the relegation zone. Gabriel, there's probably one player we should talk about. That's Philip Hoffmann. He had an outstanding season. He proved me well and truly wrong. But if you look at the return from the Corona Powers, they had some really good results, and one of them was a massive win over Stuttgart. And it would be fair to say that game in particular, where they played particularly well and made Stuttgart look very second rate, was really the beginning of what was going to be the rise for Karlsruhe. And fair play to them. They did an excellent job when it mattered most to pick up points and avoid the drop.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their last four games, in mind this is a team that spent 13 of the last 14 match days coming up to the final day of the season in the relegation zone. A team that were not highly, rated coming into the season. Their final four games: Stuttgart at home, Jahn Regensburg away, Bielefeld at home, and then Greuther Fürth away. And they've picked up two wins. One against Stuttgart, one against Greuther Fürth, and then a draw against the champions Bielefeld. I mean, and then just to only lose to Jahn Regensburg is a stupendous achievement, and you can definitely point to that, as well as the sort of run just after the restart of a win against Darmstadt, and then draws against Bochum, Hanover, and Pauli as the major factor why this team have managed to stay up, because. They had some very choice times during the season. I mean, but particularly going into the sort of February March period, they were looking pretty down and out. They had a pretty good first half of the season. I mean, they were solidly mid-table for the first in the Hinrunde in the first half of the season, but they really took a major downturn, and I think it's you know, definitely related to the fact that they are newcomers to the Zweite Liga for the season or not just season gone by, and they didn't really have the stamina to sort of keep up the very strong performances. But you know, I mean, all that counts is, as you said, they stayed up. You know, they got a draw on they got a win on the last day of the season, and that's all that counts. No one really cares either way whether you finish fifth or even fourth, or if you finish 15th. The fundamental year in the league for the next year, and they can go again and build on what is a fairly solid base going into next season.
Yeah, and one of those solid bases was striker Philip Hoffman, who managed 17 goals this season and really proved to be an astute piece of business for the team. They will have to be very astute once again business-wise. They do need a new goalkeeper, with Benjamin Uphoff leaving the end of this season. So it'll be interesting to see what they do now. Now let's get to the bottom three. And these are the... Well, the first one in particular is the extraordinary disappointment, and that's Nürnberg. To say that they were going to be in the bottom three at the start of the season, to be honest, I would have had to pinch... Well, you'd have had to pinch me, because I wouldn't have believed you. Would have thought it would have been an absolute lie, and yet they produced an unbelievably poor season. I know something Robert touched on was that teams who drop down from a division sometimes have that carry hangover. A good example of this would be Paderborn, when they went basically three consecutive seasons full of relegation, and was only reprieved because of 1860 Munich going for the double relegation in that one season. But yeah, it all started with pretty much poor managerial decisions. Demir Kanadi, who joined from Asteris Tripolis, was not the right decision. A very ultra-defensive manager who didn't exploit the creativity of his squad. And either it's fair to say that they basically played catch-up for the entirety of the season, and yeah, they, via the playoffs, from a last-minute goal from a player who hadn't scored all season in Fabian, in Schleusner, they managed to escape what could have been a catastrophic double relegation.
Yeah, in the end, I think they're very, very lucky that they didn't get relegated. I think there wasn't really a time in the season, maybe very shortly after the corona break, where you had the feeling, okay, they're definitely going to maybe do or follow Osnabrück in times of table positioning. But then they had maybe 45 good minutes, for example, in the game against Bielefeld. But you could see something, as you mentioned, that Kanadi really was way too defensively. And that kind of stretched even afterwards at Jens Keller, and they, even if they had chances, they found really horrible ways to give them up. One probably that stays in my mind for quite some time will be Nikola Dovedan against St. Pauli, a goal that he would have scored if he would have been playing for Heidenheim, but that was basically in one attempt to score a goal was basically the whole Nürnberg season in like 3 seconds or so. And they really have to look out, I think, even more than some other clubs, like even more than Regensburg. They're at a very dangerous path. I mentioned Kaiserslautern before, and Nürnberg has some good chances to actually follow them into the Dritte Liga, and you can see what the Dritte Liga does to clubs like Braunschweig and Kaiserslautern very shortly before really going bankrupt and even going down to the Regionalliga. So Nürnberg really has to watch out. It's not an easy surroundings either. I think the fans really stay true to the club, and the club is very important to them, but you have the feeling that sometimes the pressure is too high for them, and you could maybe see that coming at maybe before the beginning of the second leg, that it's not going to be an easy half of a year for them.
Yeah, it is going to be a watch this space with them. If they decide to stick with Michael Wiesinger as manager, or if they're going to bring in an outside source like a Gramotsis, we'll wait and see. But yeah, they were incredibly disappointing. I think the thing is also most of their signings really didn't work for them, besides Robin Huck, of course, who scored the 10 goals, top scorer for the team. There was talk that Nürnberg were searching $8 million for him, which unfortunately I don't think they'll get. But he, was really their main creative outlet. Defensively, they were, well, awful for most of the season. And yeah, must do better. But it'll be interesting to see how they go next season. But it's fair to say this season was almost the ultimate catastrophe. Now to our first relegated party, Wiesbaden. V and Wiesbaden. They were an interesting side to watch. They were one that would garner, well, put it this way, most of their games featured a lot of goals, for better or for worse for them. They were the league's worst defence, conceding 65 goals, just under 2 goals a game. But they did produce some very fun performances, and even more so, Robert, some very funky tactics. The only side that really played a 3-3-3-1. I can't remember a team playing such a weird formation, but Rüdiger Rehm and his delightfully devilish footballing philosophy made for some very interesting tactics, although it's fair to say it didn't really stand up consistently at the Zweite Bundesliga level.
Yeah, I think they can be very proud with how they played this season, because, as you said, there were very low expectations on them, a very small budget, and a relatively inexperienced coach. And yeah, I mean, you'd say arguably, as a neutral, one of the most entertaining teams to watch. I think they lost 6-3 to Kiel, and obviously lost 6-0 to Nuremberg right at the end of the season, but they also beat Osnabrück 6-2 away, so some pretty incredible performances in there. Obviously have to mention Manuel Schäfler as well, who had a very productive season, and you'd imagine that he'd be snapped up by someone in the second division. So relegation is obviously unfortunate for them. But I think, yeah, they can be proud of what they did.
Absolutely. I mean, we had, I think a good number of us had them penciled for rock bottom, and they made it interesting till the very end that they were still in with a shout of avoiding relegation, and that would have been an incredible end to their season. Not to be, I guess the takeaway is they beat Stuttgart twice, which is incredible. And Schäfler will probably be in the Zweite Bundesliga again next season. Where? I'm not sure. I heard Kiel was one of the options. But yeah, it was good while it lasted, but unfortunately they must be sent down to the Dritte Liga, as shall Dynamo Dresden, the big giant from the eastern part of Germany. It was a really, really poor season for them, and their troubles that they had the previous season, the lack of goals from quality players, became a real, real problem for them this season. Defensively, it wasn't good, and you could make the excuse that they had to play 9 games in the month of June, but the argument against it was they didn't do enough earlier in the season to put themselves out of a nuclear situation. And Gabriel, it's fair to say that a team that of such magnitude for that part of the country to fall to the Dritte Liga is a great shame, but it is a necessary rebuild, because a lot of the parts in that squad clearly didn't fit together, and you may say that the relegation was kind of coming, but probably not this soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's desperately disappointing for Dresden fans and Dresden as a city, because the team is so integral to the culture there in some ways. You could also see it, I mean, with Chris Lover, I think, is if I'm not mistaken, thinking is the ex-Huddersfield man, when he was desperately disappointed in a post-match interview when relegation was all but confirmed after a loss a few weeks ago. It hurts, but also, and you know, it's very difficult that they had to isolate for 2 weeks, the only club to have to isolate you know, for 14 days as the season started, which meant that, as you said, 9 games in June is just a phenomenally difficult task for a team that did have zero form and needed points desperately coming into the restart. But they just hadn't done enough prior to that. You know, they'd been bottom for the past 10 match days before that, and so they, you know, they hadn't really done anything to justify staying in the division if you just took the season as a sort of 25-26 game season. So it's sad, but what is of great comfort to Dresden fans and Dresden as a football club is that they'll bounce back because they've got the fans, they've got the infrastructure to bounce back, they've done it before, and that it's a huge club, and a huge club that, you know, has been, you know, in my opinion, has been wronged since the 90s, really, you know, and since not being, you know, not really given a fair chance in when the Bundesliga was unified in the early 90s, because it was a massive, massive club in the Oberliga in Eastern Germany, and you know, I think everyone would love to see a club of that stature in a club of East German stature like that be in the Bundesliga again. But obviously, they're in the Dritte Liga now, and it's a very difficult proposition, you know, that they have to face ahead of them, and they'll have to do some rebuilding. They'll have to sign some new players. They'll have to work quite considerably on their away form, which was dreadful this season. But you know, I think it's in a way, sometimes relegations are good to try and help you build up a new squad, to help you kind of add parts to your team, to get rid of some dead wood. You know, fairly young team of only about 24. And you know, a 23-man squad size, so they still got a bit of wiggle room to try and build, you know, to get some new players in. And you know, they'll draw a lot of players in because it's such a big club. So, yeah, I have faith that we'll see Dresden in the coming years. They're not going to be sort of lost in a sort of Kaiserslautern-esque mire, I don't think.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think their return probably in the next couple of seasons seems pretty imminent, and it will be good to see them back in the Zweite Bundesliga suit. It is a shame, but unfortunately some of the same mistakes and the inability to capitalise in front of goal was really the main issue for them throughout last season and then this season. Before we go, after our three-parter on our season review, we have our own individual teams. The season, we've asked to each of our co-hosts for today podcast to give us their starting 11 for the team of the season. Now, Eva, I'm going to let you have first crack. Who is your starting 11 and who would be the manager of that team?
So I apologize. It might be a bit Bielefeld. Yeah, a 4-3-3. And I have Ortega in the back. So Ortega in the back, then on the left position, Leibold. Then it's Pieper and Meinke. Diekmeyer on the right side. Then in the middle, I have Hartl, Prietl and Dorsch. And then up front, I have Kleindienst, Klose and Klaus. I have chosen 5 substitutions, just Corona style. Instead of Ortega, I have Menno for the goalkeeping position. As mentioned before, Danilo instead of Leibold and Nilsson instead of Meinke, as well as wanting to put Endo in the mix for midfield and Scheffler and Hack for strikers or for up front. That's my... And Uwe Neuhaus, I'm sorry, but Uwe Neuhaus is my coach of the season.
Gabriel, you're starting 11 and coach.
So I've just gone for the 11, unlike Eva, that just likes to be fun and flair with 5 subs. You know, I'm Mourinho here. I don't need the subs. I I've gone for Kevin Muller, the Heidenheim goalkeeper in goal, obviously get the most clean sheets. I've gone for two. It's a 4-4-2, a traditional English 4-4-2, and I've gone for two left backs. One will play left back, one will play right back, because you know they're too good to miss out. Obviously, Eva mentioned Tim Leibold. He's at left back with 16 assists this season. It's incredible, really. And Danilo Suarez is in the very uncomfortable right back position for him, but he's just too good to leave out. So all-time kicker. 11 of the match week, so he was key to Borkum's rise. And then at the back, I would love to have had Lampropoulos and Leitch, but I think that's just unbelievably unjust. So Mainka comes in for me, and he's just been unbelievable. And Moritz Heyer for Osnabrück, who's really been integral in ensuring that Osnabrück stayed up, and more importantly, when they had such an amazing defensive record at the start of the season, he was very key to that. I've gone for right wing. I've dropped in Behrens. As much as I hate Sandhausen, I hate is a bit of a strong word. As much as my indifference is severe towards Sandhausen, you've got nothing. You can't knock this guy's immense respect for him. 14 goals, 7 assists, as I said earlier. Then in centre mid, I've gone for Vanitzek and Lucia, the two engines of the Bundesliga, the title Bundesliga this season. Vanitzek with 12 assists. Lucia, I mean, he ran nearly 12 kilometers a game, ran 393 kilometers in 33 games, just insane, and only missed the one game. And then left wing, I mean, this is again slight Borkum bias, but Danny Blum, he didn't play a single game after the restart. But in the 25 games that he played, bear in mind he was our first half of the season player of the year, if I remember correctly. 25 games, 19 goal contributions. So, you know, 9 assists. I mean, that's like, he's in the top, you know, the sort of top 5 or 6 players for the season, having played sort of less than 2/3 of the season. So, I mean, really, really stunning season for him, although, you know, it remains to be seen whether he will be a Bochum next year. I mean, he's been quite quiet on that front. And then up front, I've gone for Fabian Klose, of course, top goal scorer, and just, you know, captain fantastic. It's about time he plays in the Bundesliga, and I'm very glad that he's going to play this next year. And Emmanuel Schaeffler, because without, you know, second top goal scorer for a team that came 17th, I mean, like, as in second top goal scorer in the whole league, I mean, without him, Wiesbaden would have been down at Christmas. So, I mean, that's definitely something. Rear manager, I will go for Daniel Thien, because he's kept Osnabrück up against all the odds, and he's got an unbelievable move and probably a fat paycheck too, so well done, mate.
Excellent. Robert, your side and manager.
So fairly similar to the other two. As you can imagine, I've gone for a Dieter Hecking 4-3-3. So in goal we've got Stefan Ortega, as we've mentioned before, very key in Bielefeld's very impressive defensive season. Then left back, of course, has to be Tim Leibold, with his amazing production of assists. Then at centre back I have Pieper from Bielefeld and Heyer from Osnabrück. I thought it was only right to have an Osnabrück player in, because they did exceed expectations so much this year. I found right back quite difficult, but I thought I would reward Bielefeld for their strong defence again with Cedric Brunner. I'm not sure how Eva feels about that, but you know, that's my choice. Then midfield three, sitting I've got Nicolas Dorsch. And then I thought I'd go with a bit of a different player here. I've gone for Marvin Vanicek from Karlsruhe. I think it was, again, impressive from Karlsruhe to stay up. And he is the player with the most amount of kilometres covered in the division. And he worked very hard and was fairly key in their good results late in the season. And then just in front of those two, I've got Marcel Hartel, who didn't quite get the chance that he deserved at Union, but has been also very, very key for Bielefeld. And then up front in a three, I've got Vogelsammer and Klaus. Of course, I think because it's quite a long time ago, we forget quite how deadly those two were at the beginning of the season. And I thought I needed to include a Stuttgart player because they did get promoted. So I've got Nicolas Gonzalez on the left wing and manager Uwe Neuhaus.
Interesting. Well, that leaves my team, which there are a lot of familiar names. I think everyone's actually named pretty much what my team will look like. Ortega is in goal. Back four of Leibold, Pieper, Nilsson. It's hard not to pick Pieper and Nilsson together. They were both fantastic. And as a duo, they the best in the league. So for me, they go through. Dennis Diekmeyer, worthy of his position at right back. This is a 4-4-2 formation as well. Robin Huck and Hartl are out wide with Vanitzek and Dorsch in the guts. Klose and Schaefer were the two top scorers in the league, so it is right that they are up top. Uwe Neuhaus has to be the manager. I mean, it's just hard not to put him in. Although Thune, Frank Schmidt, very much all worthy of some consideration into the team of the season, which we will post on our Twitter page at Zwei Bundesliga Pod. Thank you so much for joining us throughout season 2019-20. We will be back in September, we promise, ahead of season 2021. We can't wait for you to join us. We thank you so much for your support throughout this time. We hope you're all staying safe. We hope you enjoy the only English-speaking Zweite Bundesliga podcast going around. Thank you, Eva, Gabriel, Robert, for joining and helping me compile an excellent podcast. To all those who have been involved this year, Alex Howell, Lewis Ostrowski, Mark Lovell, thank you guys for coming on. And of course, our special podcast episodes with Jonathan Harding and Felix Tamsut. Thank you for dedicating your time for us to produce some content on this platform. Again, stay safe. Thanks for listening. And until next time, goodbye.